Chairs No Waiting, episode number 781, Stranger in Town. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Guys, head over there and check out things. There's a bunch of discontinued shirts. You can go and check those out. And while you're there, check out the new stuff like Aunt B's wooden spoon. It says on it, I ain't about to be beat to death with no spoon. Or while you're there, you might want to get you an axe. That's right. You can get an axe that says pow, pow, pow. Or an axe that says, with an axe, shazam. They're pizza cutters. Go check that out. And if you really need it, you can get some Colonel Harvey's Indian Elixir flask for your Colonel Harvey's tonic. Head over to WeaversDepartmentStore.com and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by folks just like you, the executive producer of episodes number 781. That's this one. As the attendees from last year's Mayberry Meetup, we got another one coming up in July. Come out with us. So thank you to all of them. And the Patreon patron of the week for 781 is Brian Rose. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, the host of Two Chairs No Waiting. And wow, great to be here. It's been a fun time here. We just got through Easter this year. Gone through that this past weekend. Now we're heading into April. Today's actually, as I record this, it's actually April 1st. Been trying to avoid all the April Fool's jokes all day long. Done a pretty good job. Hopefully you made it through it as well, because here we are on the second when this comes out. Hopefully you've made it through that. And now we're getting back into doing episodes from the Andy Griffith Show, going through and kind of giving you a rundown on them. So we've been doing that this year and taking a few breaks along the way to have some other fun Mayberry stuff. But we're going to head into A Stranger in Town. And then we'll play trivia and do some other fun stuff at the end of the podcast. So if you'll remember, Stranger in Town was the 10th episode filmed, and it was the 12th episode aired. So it's season 1, episode 12 is what this will be considered. If you look it up in different places, it's going to look up different. I mean, they all do it differently. Everybody seems to have a different way of annotating when this episode or when all the episodes were there. So if you head over to the Mayberry.info website, you can look up all the episode guides over there and go to season 1, and you can go to this exact episode and follow along as you do, or re-look up this information. It's all mostly all there. So go and check that out if you would like. Okay, so this is, we'll just run through a quick synopsis of the episode, and then we will go a little bit more in depth. But you remember, it's about Ed Sawyer. He's some mysterious stranger that arrives in Mayberry and, you know, puts the entire town on edge. They're worried about who he is. When he comes in and displays this eerie familiarity with the people of the whole town of Mayberry, he knows the people, he knows places, he knows things. He knows all kinds of stuff that just makes everybody pretty nervous. And finally, Andy confronts him and basically learns that Ed Sawyer, he's not a foreign spy and he's not a spook or something like that. He's just a man without a hometown. Okay, so that's what we get started on this episode. That's what it's about. Surely you've seen it. If you have not, go back and check out the episodes, because you'll definitely want to do that. So as the episode begins, we actually see in the barbershop, Barney is in the barber chair and he is getting his hair cut by Floyd. Now, this is Floyd is Walter Baldwin, who was the first Floyd. This is the only episode he appears in. But Barney's in there getting his hair cut, and Floyd, and we say he's Floyd Colby, because at some point it's Colby's tonsorial parlor, even though Howard McNear's there at that time. We have a whole backstory for this. Norm Schultz, the tribute artist for this version of Floyd, Walter Baldwin version, we've made up a whole backstory that the two Floyds actually worked together, that Walter Baldwin's Floyd Colby is the one who got Floyd Lawson to be a barber and helped train him and even taught him how to cut hair using cats that they caught in the alley back in the back. And originally, the barbershop, Floyd Lawson, started working with Floyd Colby, so it was Floyd's, plural. And then eventually, when Floyd Colby decided to retire, basically it added an apostrophe and it became Floyd's, and Floyd Lawson ran the barbershop from then on. So there you go. So they each worked part time until then. So that's why we didn't see this Floyd, because he retired right after this episode. All right. So that's a backstory that's fake and made up, but that's what we use. I think it's a good one. So basically, a stranger gets out off the bus from New York City. And the folks in Mayberry are just, they're naturally just curious and want to know who this fella is. But he strolls right into the barbershop and he starts calling everybody in there, basically Andy and Barney, really, and Floyd. He knows them all by name and, things. He knows all kinds of things like that strangers are not supposed to know. And so they're suspicious. He knows Floyd has rheumatism. He knew Barney was a deputy, even though Barney was all covered up in the cape, the apron that you wear at the barbershop. So there's no way he could see that he was a deputy. He knows all that kind of stuff. And everybody's suspicions are really high because they don't really understand why he knows all this stuff. So he's a stranger and his name's Ed Sawyer, and he's got all this knowledge of the goings on in and around Mayberry. It's just uncanny, right? Soon, as a result of all this, he's accused of everything from being a foreign spy to a space alien. He's friendly and he tries to fit in and settle down there, but he's just coldly rejected by the residents of Mayberry because they're suspicious of him. Why does he know all this stuff, right? So they start trying to figure it out because they even know the twins' names. He knows all kinds of stuff that you just should not know if you've never even been to Mayberry, right? Never been to town. So he knows all this. So he gets accused, like I said, of being a foreign spy. Andy's the only one that's willing to give him any kind of a break and wait and judge him until he knows all the facts. But even Andy starts thinking it's pretty curious, and they just don't understand it. So as they go through with this, finally Ed heads over to the hotel and checks in. Andy and the crowd of people from Mayberry head over there and talking with Jason, trying to figure out why. Who this man is, not why, but who this man is. How does he know so much? And Barney's really, really concerned about it and wants to go upstairs to talk to him and try to figure out who he is. But then somebody mentions that, I saw a TV show like this one time, and it turned out that the fella was not of this world. He was an alien or a spirit. And then they asked Barney, you want to go up and talk to him? No. Like Andy said, we'll just wait and see. He ain't done nothing. So that happens, but he's still spying on him. So much to the fact, if you'll remember the great scene where Barney is there at the hotel and he decides to go up and check out his room when Ed Sawyer leaves, and he reaches in to get the key out of the box there at the behind the desk of the hotel, and there is a mousetrap in there, and Andy comes walking in, and so Barney keeps his hand in the mousetrap in the cubby where Andy won't see it, and says, "What are you doing with your hand in there?" "Oh, just every so often I just come in, stick my hand in there," and he sticks his other hand in, and there's a mousetrap in that one as well. So he ends him up on both hands. Oh gosh, that was such a great scene. And of course he's just going off, trying to get Andy to get him off of his hands. Oh gosh, it's so great. So anyway, as that goes along, Andy brings Ed into the courthouse and starts to talk to him, and they have a very curious encounter between Ed and Lucy Matthews. Now that's, by the way, the woman that he loves, but whom he has never even met, never seen her before. But Ed was asking Andy for help. He comes on a little strong, because he knows everything about her. He starts telling her about everything that he knows about her. And he's just getting started. He's just warming up. That's what he actually says. And Andy says, if you don't calm down some, I'm going to have to bring you in. So he's very excited about meeting Lucy, and she wants him to leave her alone. So basically, that's when he explains how he came to think of Mayberry as his hometown. And he reveals that he's a loner. He has no family and no real home. And while he was in the army, Ed befriended Joe Larson from Mayberry. You know, he's the son of Pete and Eddie Larson. And he loved the stories that Joe told about back home so much that he began to take the town newspaper. And even when he moved back home to the hotel that he lived in, he would continue to get the paper and read stories about the folks from Mayberry. And he decided he wanted it to be his hometown. And when he saw the gas station was up for sale, he thought this was his chance. And so as he's telling Andy the story, Andy says, well, this will make a great story for our newspaper. So he ends up calling the newspaper and to tell Ed's story, because then the people in Mayberry wouldn't be afraid of him. They'd know what his reason was for being there. But Ed has walked out the door, and while Andy is on the phone with Sarah, getting her to call the newspaper, he begins to hear an angry crowd outside. And so he walks out and sees this crowd of people basically attacking Ed, wanting him to leave, go home, go back where you came from, that kind of stuff. And Andy steps in and begins to tell Ed's story to this mob, delivering a stern lecture about how to treat people who may appear a little bit different, and hearing how their friendly town caused a total stranger to embrace Mayberry as his hometown. And the citizens begin to back down and realize, how much they had been misjudging this fella. And so that goes from there, and they even offer they're going to go ahead and sell the gas station to him. And the episode actually ends with him going in, and Andy says, well, now that you're going to be living here, you should look like us. And so he takes Ed in and puts him in the chair of the barbershop and lets Floyd start to cut his hair, and even gets Floyd to try to get his trying to get his sideburns even by sticking his finger in the ear as a guide. So that's how the episode actually ends. So there you go. So that's a rundown of the episode. Now let's go into a few odd facts known by few, right? So in this episode, as I mentioned earlier, actually, this is the first and only episode that Walter Baldwin appeared as Floyd the Barber. Rather than the more familiar to us all, especially to me, Howard McNear. You know, I'm a little partial to Howard McNear as Floyd, but I thought Walter Baldwin did he did a good job as the character he had. But all reports were that the actor himself didn't fit in well with the crew, with the rest of the cast. And so it just didn't work out. So they let him go and eventually brought in Walter Baldwin. Now, his last name is never mentioned. It's not shown. So that's the reason I told you that story in the beginning of we brought in a backstory of why that might happen. All we ever see is it says Floyd's Barbershop. It's painted on the lower left side of the window of the barbershop in this particular episode. So you would have to see it there, right? That's where you would see it. All right. So speaking of the window, inside Floyd's barbershop, about 3.5 minutes into the episode, a little less than that, the two men look out the front window, and the glass, when you see them looking out the window from the front, so you're seeing their faces, you can't see any panes in the windows. But when you see from the back, as they're looking out the window, there's a 4-panel window there. So there's 4 panes. Now the difference is one shot is shot on the set at Desilu, and the other was shot at 40 Acres lot in the actual physical streets of Mayberry that you see on the show. So that's why there's a difference. And so it jumps back and forth is where you're seeing the panes or you're not seeing the panes, looking from inside out of the courthouse, not courthouse, the barbershop, or from outside the barbershop into the barber, into the barbershop. Yes, got that right. So you'll notice that. You'll notice that when Ed Sawyer walks in the door, to the when you open the door to the barbershop, to the left there is a door that says beauty shop. It goes into the beauty shop. So that entrance to the beauty shop disappears later in the series, and you never see it again. And later in the series, instead of being a beauty shop, it's actually Orville Monroe's funeral parlor that's right beside Floyd's barbershop. It's his funeral parlor and TV repair, I should say. But that door disappears as the series progresses. So there's another little tidbit for you. Let's see here. As Floyd is taking a nap in his barber chair, Andy reads a story in the newspaper about old man Joe McKnight celebrating his 103rd birthday. That's just a little odd facts known by a few. Jason over at the Mayberry Hotel, he's the reservations clerk. He attempts to give Ed Sawyer room 209, but Ed swiftly declines that room because he says that's the room Wilbur Hennessy got drunk in and fell out the window. And so Ed requests room 216 because it's been freshly painted green. Although he does say that green is not his favorite color, but it is freshly painted. So he does that. In that same area, so this is a little bit later in the episode, but you can see a calendar. There's actually two calendars in this particular episode. There's the one that you would see when Ed is actually checking in. It's just to the right of the cubbies where Barney stuck his hand and got the mousetraps hooked on him. There's a little bitty calendar there. And then later in the episode, when Barney is about to stick his hands in those cubbies, there's another calendar. It's a different calendar on the wall just to the, if you're looking at those cubby holes there, just to the right of the door over there, there's another calendar. So the thinking is by some that appears to be a calendar of October 1960. And I think that's based on the number of days and the fact that it starts on a particular day. That's how they would have figured out what that month is. There you go. So the gas station in this episode is owned by George George Sapperly. And it's insinuated that Ed buys the gas station at the end of the episode. But this is the only episode we ever see Ed Sawyer. So don't really know if he bought the gas station or if, we also don't know if the same gas station is Wally's filling station. We don't know. Maybe that gas station's outside of town a little bit, and because it said later that Wally's is the only gas station in town. So maybe we don't know. And we do see George Sapperly in the episode. He's at the end of the episode when the crowd, the mob was there with them, threatening him and trying to get him to leave. He's actually standing behind and to the right of Ed, and he actually speaks to him about, hey, we drop by, we'll drop the papers, sell you the gas station. So that he is actually in that episode as well. At the end of the episode, when they open the door to go in and get a haircut. That's at the end of the episode. So I'm reading this. So at the end of the episode, when they take Ed Sawyer into Floyd's to get him fixed up where he'll look like everybody else, when they actually open the door to the barbershop to go in there, and it's only like two frames. It is a hard capture here, but you can actually see in the door, when he opens the door, you see in the window the reflection of a large spotlight that was used to light the scene. Is reflected in the door, and you can see that. So there's a little odd fact you can be watching for. It's very fast. I mean, I understand why they didn't worry about it being there. They just figured people would think it was a sign or something outside. It's a very quick reflection there. Okay, so let's see. When Andy walks in the barbershop, when they're complaining about Barney's sideburns, that's at the beginning of the episode. When Andy walks in, you can see on the ground a small marking, a T. You can see it. You can see it on the ground, and it's showing where he's supposed to stand. There's a T, there's a mark, and those are marks, and you can actually see them on the ground in that episode. So you can see that. Those are where the actors are supposed to stand at certain parts of the scene. And so it's marked on the ground for them to be able to see where they need to be standing. So that's a pretty cool little tidbit. So if you watch for that, you can kind of see it in the particular episode. It's a pretty neat one. Let's see here. When Ed Sawyer walks into the courthouse to be able to talking about it before the lady, the girl, who's it he likes? I've gone blank now. Before he comes in there to see her, talk about her to Andy, you can see as the door's closing, you can actually see the hand of a stage crew person catching the door where it won't make a lot of noise and it will still shut. So you can actually see that. So Lucy, when he's going to talk about Lucy, you can actually see that. Okay. I think that's most of the tidbits there, but this is one of the only episodes where you actually see only a few characters in this episode. That doesn't happen very often. Andy, Barney, and Opie are the only regulars that appear in this particular episode. The rest of the supporting cast are played by actors who either play different characters later or never appeared again in the series. So another cool little tidbit. Let's say here. So evidently I said at some point that they brought in Walter after Walter. So yeah, they brought in Howard McNear after Walter, if I said it incorrectly earlier. Thank you, Bo Snerdly, for the corrections. Thank you. Let's see here. There's a few other notes. When Ed first arrives in the barbershop, he asked Floyd about his rheumatism. Remember that? So he did ask about that. And how did he know that? But now we know that it usually acts up at that time of year. As Ed's leaving the barbershop, he runs into Miss Buntley. That's who he runs into, that has the babies, the twins that we see. And he can actually tell them apart. Yeah, he actually knows which one's which. So she had just stepped out of the Mayberry dry cleaning and pressing shop, by the way. She has twins, Robert and William, in a stroller. And Ed distinguishes the twins apart because William has a little mole right there on his right ear. He knew that. So I think that's pretty amazing that was ever in the paper. You know, why was that ever in the paper that they described that? I don't know. So Bill Matthews, he appears in this as Lucy's brother, right? And he's the guy trying to fight with Ed in the episode. It's played by Pat Colby. He later returns, speaking of people that return in episodes, as Jimmy Morgan in the Great Filling Station Robbery in 1963. He returns as that. So that is all the notes I have for this episode. Wow, I talked a long time about this one, didn't I? Oh, my goodness. So hopefully you got some information you didn't know, or at least it made you smile and brought back some fun memories as we did this. So let's go into trivia. Let's go into the trivia. So if you guys are ready, this is more trivia from our trivial expert, Paul Mulick. And to this week's topic is going to be Mount Pilot. Mount Pilot. We're going to do 5 questions. You ready? Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the run through of the episode and the little odd facts known by few and some of the continuity information there as well. All right, Number one, 5 questions worth 1 point each, and the topic is Mount Pilot, so maybe that'll help you. All right, who said, if you want a good suit, you've got to go to Mount Pilot? Who said that? Who said, if you want a good suit, you got to go to Mount Pilot? All right. Not going to give you a lot of time. These are harder than last week's. These are not as easy. Last week's were very easy, so we ran through a bunch of them. These are a little harder. Who said, if you want a good suit, you got to go to Mount Pilot? Okay? All right. All right. So let's stop. I'm just going to give you the answer. It is impossible for me to read that without trying to do the voice. Okay? So who said,
if you want a good suit, you got to go to Mount Pilot?
Floyd said that. I think I started saying, I did that when I tried to read it to you the first time. So I should have given it away a little bit, but it was Floyd Lawson. Yes, Floyd Lawson, the Howard McNear's version, that said that. That was in the episode Otis Sues the County, by the way, if that's helpful to you. All right. yeah, I tried to read in Floyd's voice. All right, question number two. Number two. Barney was a member of what organization based in Mount Pilot? Barney was a member of what organization based in Mount Pilot? That's a tough one. This one is a little bit tough. Barney was a member of what organization based in Mount Pilot? I think this one's a little hard. Okay. So let's see. I'm going to give you one more read, then I'll give you a little hint, and I'm going to give you the answer. Okay. Barney was a member of what organization based in Mount Pilot? I'll give you the hint now. Okay, so see if you can get it for the hint. With the hint, here we go. It's in the episode Barney's Uniform that we find out about this. And the answer is he's in the Mount Pilot Judo Society. So if you said judo, something like that, at least get a half a point. But it was the Mount Pilot Judo Society. That's what he's in. Okay. All right, here's question number three. I think this one's easier. I'm not sure, but let's see. Who drove Thelma Lou to Mount Pilot for a dentist appointment? Who drove Thelma Lou to Mount Pilot for a dentist appointment? Okay. I don't know if you need a hint on this or not. The last read, I'm going to give you the answer. Pause if you don't want to know. Who drove Thelma Lou to Mount Pilot for a dentist appointment? The answer is Gomer. And that's from the episode Barney and Thelma Lou. I think that's how you say it. That's the episode. All right. Got two questions left. Number four. What's the name of the baseball team that played against Opie's team when Andy was the umpire? What's the name of the baseball team that played against Opie's team when Andy was the umpire? Yeah, some folks in the chat room said my mom and dad just shook hands on their deal, talking about that last episode. All right, here we go. I'm going to give you the answer. Here's the question one last time. What's the name of the baseball team that played against Opie's team with Andy acting as umpire? The answer, it's from the episode The Ball Game. It's the Mount Pilot Comets. The Mount Pilot Comets. Ooh, good job. So folks in our chat room are getting that right. I see it. Good job. All right, our final question for the day, for the night, whatever time you're reading this. With whom did Otis once share a cell in Mount Pilot's jail? With whom did Otis once share a cell in Mount Pilot's jail? Who did he share a cell with? Share a cell. Sounds like carousel, but no, it's a share a cell. With whom did Otis once share a cell at the Mount Pilot jail? Okay, the answer, it's not Mr. Drucker, is not his name, but if you got that, you get a half a point, so you get a whole point if you got that one in the last one. It was Luke in the episode Rehabilitation of Otis. All right, how did you do, guys? How did you do? All right, I don't know, so... Thank you to Paul Mulick for these. If you'd like to play along with our chat room, who's playing along right now, join us on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time at live.2chairsnowaiting.com. And you can join in on all the fun that the guys are having in our chat room. Good job. Somebody said his name was Luke Drucker. Mr. Drucker. There you go. Luke Drucker was his name. So that was my.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.